Hello, and welcome to our Energy Recharge Coaching Practitioner Program, the case study call. And tonight's case study is going to be led by Jan Chamberlain. And I want you guys to know that Jan's going to be a good example of how these case studies can be formatted. Jan and I were talking the other day, and we know that Michaeline kind of set the bar really high by her amazing presentation with, 82 slides and 2.5 hours of content and went through every lab going. And that's not what I'm expecting on these. What I really want to see is that you have a comfort level around talking to people and getting the right information from them, and then coming up with some conclusions about what labs they may need and what additional testing and what kind of program you want to get them started on and what other things you're looking for. So just that you have that whole sense of being able to evaluate and dig deep and look for root causes. So Jan decided, like Michaeline did, to put together a slide presentation. That's optional. You don't need to do that. You can just write up the case study as a Word file or PDF file, text file, and then share that with us, and then we can follow along with that. Rather than having the visual, we can print that out and have that in front of us. So it's really up to you how you do it. If you're not that tech savvy, or it scares you to do a PowerPoint presentation at this point, then there's no need. However, it's a nice, friendly place to learn how, because you're not in front of a group, you're not on stage, you don't have a bunch of people who just paid you money sitting there waiting to hear from you. It's a great way to get, it's a training ground. And that's why I set up these certification requirements, not to trip you up, not to make it challenging or hard for you, but really to make it easier for you when you get and start doing this in the real world. So I want to take you through the ropes so you can make your mistakes here in friendly ground. I can help you to correct whatever those mistakes are so that when you're out there, you're feeling really confident and capable, which I know you are. So this is just a way for you to get to know, more than for me to get to know, but for you to build the confidence that you can do this. So where Elaine and a couple other people had recommended that we do a call just to really go through the certification requirements and what's needed and all that. And we will plan to do that. We also have some rescheduling. The vast majority said that the idea of doing a whole day seminar to finish up all of the rest of our modules was just overwhelming. So we're going to do it in a series of 1 to 2 hour presentations. I am going to send out a survey within the next couple of days just to find out what the best days are for everybody so we can try to plan that. And then I'll also open up some of these case study and presentations for days that for other days, so that if Monday's really a challenge for some to be able to do it, that we can do it on other days. So I really want you to feel good about this. And we also have some ideas after a long talk with Michaeline the other day about how we're going to structure and name the certifications, and I'll describe all that on another call. So Jan did a phenomenal job with this. I want to congratulate you, Jan, in advance, because I went through all your slides and it just looks great. If you haven't already done so, the email that went out right before this to remind you about the call clicks to a page where the video and the audio on that page don't work, because that's where this recording will be sent to, but the rest of it works. So you can download the pictures. She has some really cool pictures. Well, not so cool, but really interesting pictures, let's just say, and the history and all that. And you're welcome to do that, and the copy of these slides. So without further ado, the right side is missing a bit. How much is missing, Ghislaine? Do you see? Let me just take this down. Do you see there's a fruit kind of baskety thing of vegetables and stuff on the lower right-hand corner? Is that like, that should be a mirror image of the one on the other side? Is that far from top two-thirds of the basket? Right. Well, I would say the best thing for you to do then, if you're not seeing it well, is to go to that page where we gave it to you. And then go ahead and use that. So either keep that up on your screen, just open the PDF file and just scan through the PDF file as we're going through. You'll get an idea and you'll see what you're missing that way, because it has something to do with screen size and resolution. And when we get some time to test it, we're going to see if the Maestro screen share does better than this. All right, so without further ado, let me introduce you to our own Jan Chamberlain as she presents her case. Thank you, Jan, and welcome.
Well, thank you, and welcome to my esteemed colleagues as well. I am grateful to be able to present this in a loving environment, and I'm grateful that Beverly and Michaeline and Mara and Elaine are on, and that helps. It makes me feel more comfortable.
Fantastic.
But I wanted to let you know just background real quickly. Can you hear all right? Are we good?
I hear you just great. Does everybody else hear okay? Yes. Everybody says they hear
everybody
fine.
Everybody says yes. I'm watching the chat, so
okay.
Michaeline says yes. So
great.
Some background on this particular client, which I think is interesting. I received a call Monday. This client had a sister-in-law who 2 years ago had attended one of my very first classes at the spa when I was doing IRSPT. And she was a nurse, the sister-in-law, and followed a lot of the recommendations from IRSPT before begone, etc., and it changed her life. Well, she moved away, and I hadn't heard from her in 2 years, and I got a call out of the blue a couple of weeks ago on Sunday night, and she said, can you help my sister-in-law? And she said, the first thing I thought of was you and the work that you're doing with Dr. Rita Marie when my sister-in-law came to me with these problems. And so I just want you to know that you just never know, as Dr. Rita Marie has taught us, we're always planting seeds. And every time we help a client, it has a ripple effect. And so here is a new client back. As you can tell, she's a cosmetologist presenting with rash and fatigue, 53 years old. And we'll go ahead and go to the next slide, which is the medical disclaimer. And we will, as Dr. Rita Marie mentioned, I'll go ahead and post this as a PowerPoint on the certification, and we'll change, Dr. Rita Marie and I will change some of the topics, some of the title slides, but that way, if you want to do a PowerPoint, I found it was very helpful to take everything from the case study that she had submitted, the paperwork that she had filled out, and organize it in this manner. And so this might be helpful for you as well, so feel free. You can use this and plug in your own information and your own client.
It's awesome. You can use it as a
disclaimer.
Template. Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, and in that way, because I that way you don't have to conjure up something just out of thin air. You have something to work with. You can tweak it. You can say, well, I like how she did that. I want to do mine a little differently. And it's right there for you as a PowerPoint template. So the next slide, please, is the presenting case. And her chief complaint, as you can see, is that she has this rash. Now, this is just actually one symptom. As we get further on, you'll see that there are many problems. And, of course, her doctor just said it was dermatitis, and you can see what they've done. They've given her antibiotics, prednisone, topical hydrocortisone, and this actually started in October. It was exacerbated by sun exposure and the Christmas holidays. So what does that tell us right off the bat? That stress is probably a major player, and also that gluten and probably sugar, and I would imagine dairy, are being eaten by this client during the Christmas holidays. So that's something to be aware of. This is an itching rash. It is also on her trunk, but I don't have photos of the trunk as well. So she, the first thing, let's go ahead and go to top health concerns now. Let's see, that's one more. Can we? Yeah, there we go, top health concerns. Not only does she have this rash, but she also has rheumatoid arthritis. She says she's asymptomatic. But if you see the next slide, you'll see all the different medications that she is on. She has belly fat, brain fog, and burnout for the past 2 years, so this tells us she also has blood sugar imbalance going on. She has candida and digestive issues. She has been diagnosed with candida before, and she was wondering if she now had it. Difficulty losing weight, even with exercise and dieting. She was diagnosed with hyperthyroidism at age 24 and has taken Synthroid and Zoloft for 29 years. Allergies and recurring sinus infections. So let's go ahead and move to the next slide. And that would be medication that she is currently taking. Now, one thing that we discussed, this client realizes that it has taken her a long time to come to the point where she is. The rash is actually, we discussed it, and the rash, in her opinion, and in my opinion as well, is a wake-up call that some things need to be changed. And so the first thing we did, and actually I want to add a slide because Rita Marie has always emphasized that the very first thing we want to do with our clients is take them into their vision, their values, and their goal. And obviously her goal is to get rid of the rash, but her value, she has four grandchildren, she has three children, four grandchildren, and her family is very important to her. She wants to be able to spend time with them. She's self-conscious because of this rash. And so taking her deep into her vision and value also helped us to put together a six-week package for her. So she has signed up and she's committed to a six-week package. She wants weekly coaching at this point because, again, as you'll see as we move on, there's some real lifestyle changes that she needs to make in order to truly heal and be on the path to heal. And as you can see with the medications that she's taking, this is also going to take time, and it also will require her to work with her doctor. I cannot, of course, take her off of any of these medications, and so this is one thing that part of the waiver that I had her sign that says that she understands, of course, just like the waiver that we show here, but also that she will work with her doctor in order to wean off these medications.
Great.
And so she's got Prevacid. This tells us right here that there's some stomach, some digestive issues with stomach acid. She has the Synthroid, as we mentioned before. Here is the medication that she's taken for RA since she was diagnosed with the rheumatoid arthritis, 34. She's taking Zoloft, one Zoloft a day. Now, she's taken this for several years, and also on her health history, she says this, and this was very interesting. I'm not depressed. I just feel weird without the Zoloft. So this, to me, indicates a dependency, and so this is something we want to work around, too. She says, I was diagnosed with hypothyroidism, and my system was imbalanced, so the doctor put me on antidepressants. Mm-hmm. Isn't that what mm-hmm. happens?
Mm-hmm.
So then they feel better, and they go away. So this is another thing we want to work with as well down the road. Okay, then she is on the acetylcysteine. They just started on this because of the rash, basically, and also the RA. She says, it's under control. Other than that, I can physically do what I want to do. And she is fairly energetic, she says she's fatigued, but she's an overachiever. Mm-hmm. Right? So that's something to take into consideration as well. And also, the next two, numbers 6 and 7, have to do with sinus and allergies. And also the Flonase, and again, here she says, I've been to a sinus specialist. He says, my sinuses are fine. Mm-hmm. Now, she's on this prednisone. They've just put her on the prednisone since she had the rash. This is her second round. They put her on another round at Christmas when the rash recurred again, and you can see her last statement. The prednisone has not only not done anything for her rash, but it has caused her to put on 10 extra pounds.
Yep.
So she's weighing in now at 183, and that was a surprise for her, too. That's one of the first things we do is we take a weight and we take just a few measurements. And this is so that the clients have markers so that they can see how far they've come, because sometimes as they move forward on their healing journey, they forget where they used to be. And so I have found that it's helpful just to have markers. You can encourage them. Again, as she is weaning off the prednisone, I would expect some of this weight will drop off, and that will be encouraging for her mm-hmm. as well. So anyway, this is what we're dealing with, and this is one of the reasons I chose this case, because I think you're going to have, and I have found that I have a lot of people, when she first talked to me, she says, oh, I'm not really taking any medication. And there are 8 listed here, you know. So,
oh, my.
So consider, yeah, exactly. They are used to this concept of being medicated and not realizing that they're medicated. So it was very interesting to me when I actually had her list all of her medications, and then she looked at it and she said, wow, this looks like I'm really sick, but I don't feel that I'm sick. So This is interesting. So let's move on to surgeries and major illnesses.
Okay. And I'm going to just interject with a question here, and you probably did ask this, but just to make sure for completeness sake, is when somebody presents with a rash like that, to ask if there were any changes, additions in medication, changes in doses or additions of medication, because sometimes the rash can be a side effect of medications.
Yes, and I appreciate that you brought that up. In fact, she's actually having the rash biopsied. She had the rash biopsied as well, and there were no changes that she could tell in October, but I have some ideas, and we'll talk about this later on, things that go on in October and also in December. It's kind of interesting how both of these came to pass, and you'll see. But that's something interesting. And then also I was listening to Dr. Tom O'Brien's homework for his Continuing Gluten Summit, and he had this interview with Dr. Marsh, who is the one that has the intestinal mucosa, the different stages, Marsh 1, right. Marsh 2, Marsh 3 for celiac disease. And he brought up this dermatitis herpetiformis,
right.
which is actually a gluten-induced
right.
rash.
Right.
So that's something that I thought was interesting to keep in the back of my mind. And that is also something that is diagnosed with a biopsy as well. So it will be really interesting when the biopsy comes back
to say what it is. Did you look at pictures?
Beverly says here, she says, I think this could definitely be from the sulfa drug. As well.
Well, the sulfa drug came later, right?
Another idea.
Didn't the sulfa drug, my understanding from you, that's why I asked, because sulfa drug for sure, but you had said the sulfa drug is what they tried in order to get rid of the rash.
Yeah, she said it was one flare-up a month. She says just barely started. So the sulfa drug was, to get rid of the rash, and who knows if it exacerbated the
got it.
But obviously, either way, it's not working, and that's another...
Yep.
The thing we want to look at. And rheumatoid arthritis as well has a huge connection to gluten.
Yep.
And so
this
is one thing. This is why I'm glad that she does have this coaching package. I'm going to see if we can't, as you mentioned on the Shine call, garner some support from her family, from her husband, and I have some ideas on that as well, because as we move on, you'll see things that we need to do. Okay, thank you. Surgeries and major illnesses, just real quickly, she's had staph, so there's an infection named last May, two huge rounds of antibiotics. In 2000, she was in the hospital 4 days with a staph infection. She still has her ovaries, but she had a hysterectomy at age 46, so she's currently not cycling. Food poisoning during a Thailand trip in 2008, so she may still have some parasites and issues there. She says she gets frequent viral infections. Scar tissues in her lungs discovered on a chest x-ray, and they said it was from prior pneumonia. However, she does not remember having had pneumonia.
Mm.
Carpal tunnel in both hands, 38, 3 foot surgeries, arthritis and bunions, age 40. Eyelid breast lift, some liposuction on glutes, thighs, and tummy. Now, this is interesting, too, because what do we find in that whole area, the glutes, the thighs, the tummy? A lot of lymph. Mm-hmm. And this is always a concern for me when I know that people have had liposuction, because, again, we're in an area where there are a lot of lymph. And so I'm wondering if there's some lymph impairment here, and this is why she's not detoxing as well when she needs to.
Mm-hmm.
She fell and hit her head pretty hard, needing stitches, age 42, and she had shingles twice, once on her back and once on her arm.
Right. Rather interesting.
Also, this comes
to say rather interesting that what people's perceptions of being healthy are. Right? This is a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff. And to be regarded as, I'm healthy except for... It's kind of an interesting perspective.
But it also gave me such respect for the body and all the things that the body can take that we throw at it. I mean, you look at some of these surgeries and just the things that she's undergone, and yet it's amazing to me that she's walking around. And Beverly also mentioned on the chat, prednisone will cause increase in appetite, fluid weight gain, which is very true.
Right.
Pneumonia can be misdiagnosed as bronchitis.
Yep.
So again, that may have been something. And again, she's inhaling. Remember what her occupation is.
That's right.
She's a cosmetologist. So
yep.
That's
so she's got chronic exposures. Not only her skin is exposed to lots of chemicals, but her breathing as well. So, yep.
Yeah, and I'm thinking that she's definitely got some impaired detox, and that's why, again, the skin being the largest organ, we're manifesting here in a rash.
Mm-hmm.
So
absolutely.
Yeah, let's move on to the next slide. I'll actually, when I put these slides up, I'll actually probably head this as alternative modalities. For instance, an acupuncturist may find certain things through energy healing. This is something that we use at the spa. It's called the SpectraVision. It reads energy, basically body frequencies, and it gives them, clients like it because it gives them a visual picture of what's going on, and it's actually amazingly accurate. So we had a compromised frequency in the large intestine, which isn't surprising. And as you move on, she's had so many rounds of antibiotics, I'm sure that her bowel flora is really depleted. Lymphoreticular frequency, that's compromised again, her whole lymph system. There were several strains of the frequency of candida present, which doesn't surprise us either. Her nutrient absorption is compromised. I think she's definitely got some gut healing issues here. And there were some emotional frequencies coming up, flower essence, et cetera, that she resonated with as well. So that's something that we also looked at. And then we, we can look at colon hydrotherapy. We can look at some of the other healing modalities that we have there at the spa. But we always do this first to give them an idea of what's showing up. So, again, this could be, On your slide, in your case, it could be, has she been to, say, a chiropractor, and what has he said? Has she been to an acupuncturist, an iridologist, et cetera, et cetera? If they've been to other different types of alternative medicine, what's come up there for them?
Mm-hmm.
Just gives us a bigger picture.
Yep.
All right. Next one are her lab findings. So this is what we've got from her lab. Her TSH is low. It's 0.05. It's so low it's almost non-existent.
Right.
But what's interesting is she's been taking Synthroid for 29 years.
Right. But that's
so
why it's low.
Obviously, not only is the Synthroid not working,
the Synthroid is working. The Synthroid is working.
But yeah, it's working low.
But it's too much, and it's turned off her own thyroid. Right, so she's
that's
had thyroid suppression
that's
29 years.
Way to put it. This Synthroid is working so well that now your thyroid isn't working.
But
at all. The
point is, right? She still is overweight and has thyroid symptoms. Therefore, the Synthroid, right? What are we looking for? There's other thyroid issues that may be happening.
Exactly. And I really want to get some more testing, obviously, because that was all she had. If you look at the lab spreadsheet, that is all they tested.
Mm-hmm.
All. No T3, no T4, no reverse, no thyroid antibodies.
Right.
So that's our next step. That's really important, especially, well, and you'll see a comment later on. Her RDW was elevated in October and December, which isn't surprising, and so that could indicate iron, B12, folate deficiency, some absorption there. MCV was low. So again, iron, now looking at B6. So we can see that all of these B6 vitamins, and I really suspect that she probably has MTHFR, some variant. She's probably hetero, maybe even homo for MTHFR, because again, she's just not absorbing, nor is she detoxing well. So we're looking at taking her off any kind of multivitamin, anything with folic acid in it, and looking. I'm looking at the Sun Warrior liquid vitamins for her to start with until she actually has her 23andMe, not necessarily the methylfolate quite yet. Anyway, her RBC was elevated, vitamin C deficiency, dehydration, and again, that's not surprising. She's on her feet. Working with clients. Her neutrophils were high and her lymphs were low. Both boom at the same time. And so, again, that indicate the bacterial infection on both fronts. Mm-hmm. So we've had, she's had the staph, and it'll be interesting to get this retested again, too, at the end of the 6 weeks and see where she's at with this.
Yeah, and, and this was
family history.
I was going to say, just because I did look at the spreadsheet, if you look at the spreadsheet, you'll see that this was all that was, there's not a lot of negatives there or imbalances there, but it was very little that was tested. All they did was a CBC and a TSH, as far as I remember.
Exactly.
You know, so they didn't test for iron, ferritin, they didn't test glucose.
And her sedimentation rate, they tested that, which actually was normal and in the normal ideal range. And that was interesting to me because generally that's the marker for inflammation.
Right.
And I would think that this woman is full of inflammation.
Right.
So that was a little perplexing to me, but we're also going to be looking at C-reactive protein and some other markers, too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, obviously we're going to go by symptoms, and we're still going to manage her case as if she has inflammation.
Obviously, if she has.
Family history, rheumatoid arthritis runs in her family. Her mother and father are both still living. No health issues known, but this is a family that thinks they don't have health issues.
Right.
You know, this is a woman who says, I sound like I'm sick, but I'm not. Although this rash has been a wake-up call for her. Her father's father had rheumatoid arthritis as well. Grandparents are dead. Her did have heart issues, but nothing else to her knowledge. Her sister does have rheumatoid arthritis.
So there's obviously...
Let's look at lifestyle habits next. She does sleep well. This is one thing that she says, 8 hours a night, boom. So that's good. That's nice. She also has regular meditation and exercise. She tries to exercise 5 days a week, although she hasn't had as much energy to do so, and has positive family relationships. She's positive, has a positive attitude. She's open to changing her diet, changing her lifestyle, and alternative healing. She does have a lot of stress in that her husband is on disability. He actually had lung cancer. And so for the past several years has been on disability. She is the breadwinner in the family. She has no savings, no retirement, so finances are huge for her. So she feels that she has to work. She's had fatigue for the past 2 years, sometimes needs to skip exercise due to fatigue. She isn't consistent in taking her supplements. And so I've utilized this supplement spreadsheet that you've given us, which is great. And we're starting with a few things, just going to have her check those off and then put little vitamin organizers for her vitamin C and for some of the other things that we're having her take. She's been, quote-unquote, on a diet her entire life. Again, you saw that she had liposuction. She's done Weight Watchers, which not so bad, but she's done the HCG, and we're going to talk about that a little bit more later. That's the human chorionic gonadotropin, which mimics the pregnancy hormone. It was a popular diet, and then they would go very, very low carbohydrate, like non-existent and very, very low calorie. Mm-hmm. So it really wreaks havoc, as you can imagine, with metabolism. She's also been on Zemo. I had to look this one up. This is an ephedra and green tea diet, and this Visalus. These are shakes that claim to be gluten-free and dairy-free. Well, they are, but they're soy. Mm-hmm. And so, which we know can also be cross-reactive for her. She has cravings for sugars and sweets. And this is the big one here that we mentioned before. She's exposed to chemicals daily. And she has moved her hair salon to her home. So this is one of our first conversations. as you see down the road, we've got a subtract then add kind of a strategy for her. Mm-hmm. So let's move on to food. Now, she told me that in the past, she has actually tested positive for allergies to gluten, dairy, peanuts, and eggs. So those are, you know, what we have, 4 of the 6 already. And I wouldn't doubt that she's perhaps cross-reacting as well. Now, she says she still eats these foods in quote-unquote small quantities. So here's where our work is cut out. She recently quit caffeine. She had an addiction to Diet Dr. Pepper, 44 ounces a day. is what she was drinking on the Diet Dr. Pepper. Again, we mentioned the soy protein shakes. She does drink water, but we've got her to up her water intake to half of her body weight. So that's approximately 90 ounces a day. She says she eats sugary foods at times. She understands the need to stop sugar, as she tends to crave sugar at night and sometimes will eat a bowl of cereal for dinner because she's too tired to cook. So again, you've got gluten and you've got dairy going on right there. Daily, she has salads with either chicken or tuna and or oatmeal, and I'm wondering also if the oatmeal isn't pulling up some, you know, if she's not reacting to that, the trace amounts of the gluten in the oatmeal. Mm-hmm. She said she tried a green smoothie with cilantro for detox, and she felt very ill, and it exacerbated the rash again, so she's leery of green smoothies, but she's willing to experiment with some different recipes. My suspicion is she put too much cilantro in, mm-hmm. and it was too much, too thick. So we've discussed juicing, and she's purchased a juicer, and so we're easing her in with some juices, some green smoothies, et cetera, to kind of get her super nourished and back on track. Okay, next slide. So along with this, some possible nutrient deficiencies. Again, we mentioned she's probably has low stomach HCL. She's got an imbalance there. Again, taking the Prevacid every day for the GERD, for the reflux. She has her intestinal flora. She's had the candida, antibiotics. Again, the large intestine showing up on the frequency scan. Probably looking at some gluten and, as we mentioned, cross-reactivity. She has the skin rash is probably also responding to zinc, or would respond to some zinc. I'm thinking she's low in zinc, so that's our next appointment. We're going to do some challenge, the zinc challenge that you gave us, as well as the vitamin C, so that we can get a good vitamin C dosage for her. Mm-hmm. Her ESAs, I'm suspecting she's low in that. I'd like to get a blood spot fatty acid test on her. Again, this is probably because the adrenals are coming into play. She has a lot of stress. She pushes herself. She's a type A personality, blood sugar imbalances, and again, the low TSH as well. So something's not stimulating that thyroid on its own. Mm-hmm. She has her iron and ferritin are, I'd like to get labs here on iron and ferritin just for her fatigue. Magnesium and chromium, I'm suspecting as well. I would like to add some chromium in to help with the polynucleotide for the blood sugar balance, and of course the magnesium to a challenge on that. And then we've mentioned the B12, the folate, and the B6. Obviously, there's some neurotransmitters. That's going to be one thing we address down the road as everything else falls into place. We're going to follow Dr. Rita Marie's hierarchy. That's the thing. This is another reason why I wanted to present this particular client, because you look at a client like this and you think, wow, where do I even start? And so that's why I'm grateful for this hierarchy that Rita Marie presented at Shine. It's in a slide coming on, and this kind of gives us a starting point. I want to also take a look at her iodine again, and just sort of see, do an iodine challenge with her and see where we are with iodine. But again, all these things are step by step down the road. Mm-hmm. Okay, next slide. So with all this in mind, the strategy that, as I mentioned, we're looking at is subtract, then add. And Rita Marie has always told us this, and this is something Sean Bean also mentioned on an MTHFR support talk that I was listening to. He says the very first thing you have to have your clients do is remove, and then they can start rebuilding. So first thing is the chemicals in the home and work environment. I have her now committing to just doing hair cuts. She's realizing the perm solutions, the bleach, the hair colors are not in her best interest as well, and as long as she's continuing to have this in her environment, it's going to slow down, if not totally impede, her healing. So that's one of the first things we're getting rid of. And so she's willing to take a hiatus if need be. Just do haircuts and let her clients know that for a while she's not going to be available to do these types of things. Although at the spa, we do have some haze that we're looking at, some different things that she could perhaps use, some natural products and that she could maybe move into for her clients as well. Mm-hmm. But actually, we're seeing it too, she cannot, well, when one door closes, another opens, and people are resourceful. So she's also now looking at doing maybe facials with different types of oils. We talked about coconut oil and how that would be good for her as well, and also using a coconut oil base and some essential oils to perhaps maybe move her work away from the chemicals and to, say, massage, facial massage. She's an esthetician, so she's licensed to touch people. So anyway, that's just some counseling we've sort of done that way, too. Some coaching. obviously, gluten, dairy, peanuts, egg, corn, and soy. We've mentioned the top six allergens, and so now she really understands the need for removing the gluten from her diet, especially. I've got some documents to show from Tom O'Brien and Dr. Marsh's to show the link that gluten has with the dermatitis as well as with the RA. And then dairy, she had, with all of the different sinus problems she's had in the past, she's agreed that dairy is another item that she'll need to take out. And, of course, sugar and caffeine, fermented or moldy foods and alcohol. Again, with the candida, this is something that we're looking at removing for a while, although for the gut bacteria, we want her to be able to add back in some of the fermented foods as well. But for right now, we're just really going with the green juices and the healing. Some soups, some green soups, and a high greens diet as much as possible so that she can heal. Unnecessary stressors, over-the-counter medications, we're going to remove those. So anything that she doesn't have to use in her medicine cabinet that she is not prescribed to use on a daily basis, we're having her eliminate, and then prescription meds under her doctor's supervision. So we'll add in hormone balancing protocols and support, according to, next slide, Dr. Rita Marie's hormone balancing hierarchy. Mm-hmm. So, again, first thing to start with, digestion, blood sugar, adrenal, thyroid, sleep, sex hormones, and then organ-specific. So next slide, with digestion, the foundation for healing, and Michaeline mentioned this on her slide, and I wanted to credit her with this as well. I thought this is so important that they realize that, 70 to 80% of the immune system is located in the gut. So the gut, there's so many reasons on so many fronts for the gut to be a major player here. And so we have the water. Because she does have some digestive difficulties, we're looking at digestive enzymes and also avoiding drinking 30 minutes before or after meals. Bile salts down here because she has no gallbladder. And once we'll do an HDL challenge for her as well, once she's weaned off the Prevacid. At this point in time, I think the Prevacid would negate the HDL challenge. She's been doing, for the last week, I've encouraged her to use the daily sauna at the spa daily, and she's loving that. She says this helps her to feel better, her rash is responding, and that this also makes me wonder, again, if her liver detoxification pathways are not somewhat impaired. And so this gives us another avenue for her to detox. She also, we have at the spa a detox foot bath. There are no Epsom salts or any kind. It's an electrical field that actually pulls toxins out, and this has been helpful for her as well. Colon hydrotherapy. We're looking at colon hydrotherapy. Yes, Michaeline has a good point here. She says it's important to replenish minerals with daily sauna. Mm-hmm. And we do have an electrolyte that we actually put in water. It's not a Gatorade or anything, but we do this after colon hydrotherapy and after the sauna. So that's a good, thank you, Michaeline, for that suggestion. I'm going to encourage her to have some of that.
Also and the also fulvic acid minerals from minerals the liquid fulvic acid from Sun Warrior is good, too, for that.
Yeah, the fulvic acid? Yeah.
Fulvic acid minerals. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, liquid light, I think they call it, isn't it? Liquid light?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, good. So I'll write that down as well. And Deborah says the sauna can be dehydrating, so must be careful. This is actually a 5-infrared sauna. And so we have her drinking. We have her always taking. We always keep our clients with water in the sauna as well. Good. We have really good filtered water at the spa. So that's a good point, too. Thank you, Beverly. And she says, let's see, we also have, colon hydrotherapy with wheatgrass implant. That we'll probably introduce that in the third week as we, you know, as we build on the different protocols. So, again, that's something that I think will be quite helpful for her as well. And then she can also do some enemas. Michaeline says the wheatgrass, that's true, might be an issue with if she has the gluten.
I don't know.
So, yeah, it's funny because at Hippocrates, they put everyone on wheatgrass, and they even do the SpectraCell, which basically is testing for genetics and MTHFR. So, yeah, that's kind of controversial, but, you know, we could certainly just do the colon hydrotherapy. Yeah, and Michaeline says, yes, but you already suspect cross reactivity, which is true. So really, I think I will hold off on the wheatgrass implant for a while, and as long as she's responding well to everything else, there's certainly no reason to introduce that if everything else is working.
Yeah, I'd like
and
to see.
And until we get her 23andMe back.
Yeah. I haven't seen, you know, I want to look into this more because everything I've ever looked into, I made the conclusion that the wheatgrass did not have gluten. So I'd be curious to see some references on that so I could look into that. Because I've been
Yeah, my understanding was that it's very benign.
Yeah.
So that would be a good thing to research, and maybe I should do my research paper on that, my presentation.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be a good topic for me, so that's a good suggestion. Mm-hmm. Now, Michaeline says the wheatgrass does have WGA, and she says, I have a personal issue with this, so that's good to know. So there's someone that has actually found that the wheatgrass is not helpful, but indeed harmful. So. Mm-hmm. Beverly says other green powders other than wheatgrass too, good quality wheatgrass making or products usually safe from gluten, although Beverly does well with wheatgrass. We have some wheatgrass growers in our area, so that is nice. I know that it is fresh and that it doesn't have mold on it, but again, this is something that you can certainly hold off on. I mean, with a client like this, we're always monitoring closely, yep. See what works, what doesn't work. We're adding things in fairly slowly. And so that we can, we're not adding in too many variables at a time so that we know what they're reacting to, not reacting to, what's helping, not helping. Michaeline also says that versus the Epsom salts, we could do magnesium chloride. And that's a good point as well.
Mm-hmm.
Heart mass before meals. And this is another thing that we're looking at. We mentioned she had some emotional issues and, of course, heart mass. Will help with everything, as well as the emotional issues and reducing unnecessary stress. So this is something that we're actually addressing tomorrow. I have my next appointment with her tomorrow morning.
Oh, great.
And, Beverly said she could still do a magnesium bath with the magnesium chloride.
Mm-hmm.
So that's great as well. Malabsorption, leaky gut, we're avoiding the NAC at this time just in case she does have MTHFR. Looking at slippery elm, marshmallow roots, and yellow dock to increase her absorption, aloe vera juice, the galactin,
right.
And then probiotic. We definitely, I've already started her on probiotic at bedtime just to replenish that bowel flora.
Yeah, she may need to do a, you know, massive implant, you know, gradually wean it up and keep it at a couple of hundred billion a day.
So really, front loader is what you're saying, kind of do a...
So start it low, build it up, and then maybe stay there for a couple of days, because there's so many courses of antibiotics.
Yeah. So you'd start with 100 billion and then kind of go down from there?
No, I would... You're good at starting her at 20, but I would maybe just have her gradually increase as long as it doesn't induce diarrhea or any kind of adverse reactions. Because of too rapid a buildup, and then get her up to like a couple of hundred billion, keep saying a couple hundred thousand billion. That's a lot more. That doesn't make sense. A couple hundred billion. Yeah. And keep her there for 4 days or so and then wean her back down and find a good maintenance dose. You might see a dramatic shift in her flora. Okay. The other thing, because she's got the, she must have reflux, and that's why they put her on the acid blockers. But DGL licorice could be very helpful in actually healing very quickly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, DGL is a great idea. Thank you.
Yeah.
Perfect. Okay, so let's go on to blood sugar. This is our next thing. We're also talking blood sugar now and teaching her to actually read her blood sugar, monitor it with the food. So we're changing her breakfast now. We're going to change some things out after she has her green juice. We want to get that protein in there and some omega-3s. So we've got her on a good omega-3 supplement now, and she's going to do the Nordic Naturals liquid so that it goes right in. Mm-hmm. And again, we're not going to do a very high dose till we get the blood spot fatty acid back just to see where she's at. But my suspicion is she's low.
Yeah.
We're changing her breakfast to Rita-Marie's chia porridge, which we all had at Shine, and it was wonderful. That's what I now have, too. I tweaked it up a little bit. I'm going to add the Sun Warrior protein powder into it for her. Some ground flax seeds, green powders, chlorella, shredded coconut, spirulina, and if she needs it to hold a little bit longer, she can throw in a few cashews or some cashew
yogurt
made with the probiotics,
yep.
The cashew yogurt. Yeah. And then, of course, the Before Begone supplements, the magnesium, DHA, chromium supplementation, seed burst. I taught her how to do those actually last time, and we also talked about the importance of moving her lymph, getting the lymph moving, meal spacing, and then recipes and meal plan support. So we've enlisted her sister-in-law at help. And I put, Jen is my daughter who had, I was telling Rita Marie, she had a blood glucose reading constantly of 150, 160, and she doesn't, she's a gal that doesn't look like she has a weight problem at all. This is my oldest daughter. She's 5'9 and probably weighs about 130, 125 at the max. But she's been having, really having issues with blood sugar, and her, the thing that's getting in her way is her family and her in-laws. They have dinner every Sunday night, and they're always bringing over treats and goodies and sugar and this type of thing. So she posted on Facebook a photo of her blood glucose monitor and said, you know, I just would like to enlist everyone's help. These are the readings I'm getting. This puts me in a category where I am at risk for diabetes type 2. And she said, I feel like I'm too young to have that. I'm trying to control my blood sugar. And she was... A response was phenomenal from the family, and she says now she has no problem. In fact, they support her. They won't let her have sugar. So,
awesome.
you can turn some things around.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah. So, okay. Anyway, that's something we've been doing in our coaching as well.
Great.
All right, adrenal, heart mass, yoga classes at the spa, some lymphatic draining massage, cranial sacral massage with some emotional release work. Those are all great for her adrenals. And then, of course, the adrenal elixirs. And that's the next handout that she gets is some recipes with the ashwagandha, the rhodiola, the astragalus, maca coconut oil, protein. And then we're looking at some thiamine for her, vitamin C calibration, and the Bs, of course, B5 and the B6. Vitamin D supplementation as well. That's another reading. I'd like to get another lab. And Michaeline says ashwagandha has iron, so consider that relative to the iron ferritin lab when you get them. Okay, good point. And then I want to do a zinc challenge for her as well, that zinc taste test, just to make sure that she's getting plenty of zinc, not only for the adrenals, but also for this rash as well.
Mm-hmm.
For her immune system. Okay, thyroid. Now, this is interesting. She just emailed me the other day, and at the end of the email said, when I swallow a lot, I feel like there's something in my throat where my thyroid is. Sometimes it's worse than others.
Mm.
So this, to me, told me I really want to get these thyroid labs as soon as possible and get as many of these readings as we can, so that I can just use this chart. Rita Marie has this wonderful chart in our ERSP materials for thyroid, where you can look, you can see what's low, what's high, and you can see where in the middle of those, what is it, different, how many, 17 different thyroid things that can go wrong. So we can see if she's, and then if we need to, we can monitor her temperature, we can look at, you know, Wilson's, that type of thing. Although she does not complain about being cold, nor about hair loss. Those are not complaints that she has, and she has pretty good head of hair. You know, you can visually see a lot of things. Oh, Michaeline said B5 for adrenals. Yes, that's always good to take. That's pantothenic acid, right,
B5? Right, that's so right, 500 milligrams.
And the iodine loading. So thyroid we're looking into later on. Again, once we get, my first priority is by digestion, along with detoxing her as well. And I think we're going to see a lot of response helping with the rash there, the blood sugar, the adrenals, and then the thyroid. So next slide is sleep. Fortunately, this is not an issue for her at this time. But again, if it does become an issue, we can look at her morning, evening blood glucose readings, see how she's doing, get her recommitting to that 30-day metabolic reset, run the ASI here, and just sort of see where her cortisol levels are at different times. Temporarily, we can use some passion flower if we need to, a little chamomile tea in the evening, valerian, kava kava, again, melatonin. And Michaeline says if she's eating before dinner, that could have an adrenal impact as well, especially also if we're finding that she's eating after 7 p.m. or after, you know, 3 hours before she goes to bed. So this
right.
is basic. Okay, so then that's what Michaeline said too. She meant
before sleep. That's what I thought she meant.
I really don't like to use. Again, as I mentioned, I'm just hoping that this sleep will remain well for her because, as we know, sleep is when the body repairs. And so if she's finding that she's wanting to snack in the evenings, I'm going to encourage her to, as her dessert, have, say, an almond milk shake with some of the Sun Warrior protein in it so that she has that nice dose of protein in addition to her meal in the evening time, and hopefully that will help her to have that nice 3 hour plus stretch before she goes to bed. So again, she'll have the protein in her system to aid in the healing, hopefully with her digestion improving, she'll be able to absorb more, and we should see some turnarounds here, I hope.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Okay.
And what, you know, mentioned melatonin. Melatonin brings up a question for you. She's on Zoloft, right? And what kind of a antidepressant is that?
That's an SSRI.
Okay. So what is a precursor to melatonin?
So are we looking at serotonin?
Yeah. Yeah. So if she's on an SSRI, it means that it's suspected that she doesn't make enough serotonin, right?
Right.
And an SSRI doesn't give you more serotonin. It just kind of lets you recycle it better. So it's not really freeing up more serotonin to make melatonin. So one thing you might want to...
So do you think the melatonin would be a good idea at this point? Or...
Well, she's not having trouble sleeping.
But I'm...
No, she's not having trouble sleeping. But if she was, I would probably look more at serotonin precursors first. Like, instead of giving somebody melatonin, I'll consider giving them B6 and 5-HTP so that they could make more serotonin, which makes them make more melatonin. And I'm drawing a blank on that. I just remember seeing it recently. The conversion from serotonin to melatonin, the cofactor, I think it's B6 again. If I'm not mistaken, I'll have to go look it up in a chart. But that's some of the stuff you can start to play with as you're trying to explore. Oh, this didn't work how I thought it would, like looking at the pathways between, right? Yeah. One of the things
And I'm thinking that the Zoloft is, I'm hoping that as she feels better and gains more confidence, that's something she can wean off. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that's the goal is to wean off all of the medications, really.
Yeah.
many as possible.
Yeah, and so, the thing with that is I've seen it happen very quickly. I had somebody come in to me who was on Zoloft, and then it wasn't working anymore, and they wanted to either, you know, double her dose or get her on something in addition, and she was concerned about doing that. And I got her started. I said, let's just start with the gluten-free. It was right before Christmas, so it was really hard. And then we'll get back after Christmas, and we'll go further. And all she did was do the gluten-free. And she came back in, and she said, I've reduced my Zoloft. Was that quick.
I think the gluten-free for this woman is going to be a huge piece of the puzzle.
Yep.
And probably dairy as well. I think that really is going to be a big chunk. So you're right. So we'll see. And that's why I'm kind of, again, I love this hierarchy that you've put together. And I love this subtract then add. Because this saves them money as a client. and then... You know, you can add things in one at a time. Beverly commented that you were right about B6.
Yep.
That is a cofactor.
Yeah. Oh, B6. Okay, good. Yeah, I thought
so.
Right, so there. And B6, I'm seeing a lot here. You mentioned the double carpal tunnel. I think it was Jonathan Wright who first wrote about using B6 for carpal tunnel, like 50 milligrams of P5P a day for carpal tunnel, and seeing great results. So, you know, you think of neurotransmitters and adrenals and skin and, and then the carpal tunnel on top of it really supports the need for more B6.
I think the B5 and the B6, you know, too. And on this next, on one of the slides coming up, I've really been... Well, I'll mention that as we come up. I don't want to get ahead of myself here. But this sex hormones, actually, we'll just go over this quickly. She actually has no current complaints in this area, so we've got so much to deal with. I'm using the if it isn't broken, don't fix it. At this point, she's not on any hormone replacements, natural, bioidentical, synthetic. She's not done birth control pills since age 21 because she had a bad reaction to them. She did do this HCG diet, which might have, you know, had some ramifications. Also, the low-fat dieting might have contributed to low estrogen, progesterone. I don't have those labs, and I'm actually not going to call for those labs at this point. Mm-hmm. Really more interested in her thyroid at this time because, again, this isn't an area where she does have complaints, but if she starts presenting with this later on, then we'll go there. As you mentioned, again, getting the gluten out, upping the bees, getting the omega-3, that's going to be huge.
Yep.
So I think a lot of these things will fall into place.
And your cruciferous and zinc, which you've already talked about, will all help with the sex hormones, and especially if she doesn't have any complaints. There's obviously imbalances there if she had a hysterectomy. So there was something going on sex hormone-wise that disrupted her and causing her to have her uterus removed. But I would say that you're right spot on that way. It is to say, look, let's get everything else in balance, and these things will probably fall into place with the iodine and the cruciferous and the zinc and all those other things.
That's what we're hoping. So.
Yep.
Okay. Next one is the organ-specific protocols. Now, this is interesting. This is another thing they used as Hippocrates with the wheatgrass poultice on skin rashes. And in just the few weeks that I was there, I actually saw people with some skin lesions, conditions, you know, some of these precancerous, some not melanomas, but, you know, they're kind of I forget what you call them anyway. Some of those clear up. And or aloe vera gel, this is, again, for the itching. She's using hydrocortisone cream now. There is one, I want to research this Iodermae, or of course this calendula cream, too. This Iodern is an Ayurvedic thing. And so it has some Ayurvedic herbs and different things. I just wondered if anybody's heard of that. Beverly says she's seen some amazing healing from the wheatgrass poultice as well.
Yeah.
And so I know Ann Wigmore, she used it quite a bit.
A lot, yeah.
So again, topically, I'm hoping, you know, again, to wean her off of the hydrocortisone as well. So bromelain, as I was doing some research on skin rashes as well, they said the digestive enzymes in the bromelain is also very helpful, eating primrose oil, the barrage oil, of course, increased EFAs, and we talked about that, and probiotics should help too. along with detox. So.
Yeah, and I think you're a good idea to get the blood spot.
Everyone wants to know if she can get IV vitamin C. We don't have anyone in this area that does IV vitamin C. She could probably go to Salt Lake and get IV vitamin C. So, again, we'll see how it responds to other things.
Yeah,
I would think that would be somewhat expensive. She does have insurance, and so she's trying to work with her insurance. I'm not sure insurance would cover that. But it's certainly an option, and I'll certainly write that down, you know, because vitamin C, as we know from our vital calls, there's a lot we can do with vitamin C.
Oh, tremendous amount.
And her labs did indicate she was well. So bacterial infection, again, garlic. We've used 5 drops of clove, oregano, and thyme oils in a capsule. Again, if she's not responding to other things, this is just, again, because the neutrophils and the basophils indicated that there's a bacterial infection involved here. So if she's still feeling fatigued, still feeling weighed down, we might get another lab run. And if it looks like the bacterial infection is still present, if we still got those indicators, we could do this or some wild oregano oil in capsules. Michaeline says you could consider essential oil implants after colon hydrotherapy. And that's a good point, too. And Beverly says grapefruit seed extract. And, of course, colloidal silver I sometimes worry about because that sort of is using some big guns. I have a feeling it wipes out as much good bacteria as bad bacteria. I think it can be a little controversial. I don't know if there are any brands that perhaps you know, Rita Marie, of the colloidal silver that...
Well, I mean, if I don't think it would vary from brand to brand, and I don't know that there's I don't think there's clear evidence either way whether it does or doesn't. But sometimes it's helpful if you do it and you do it properly with alternating the probiotics, so alternating in each specific day, so that you're replacing the good stuff while you're killing off the bad stuff. Again, Sun Warrior has something called Immune Shield, and it's got a bunch of it has the silver, but it has other things in it as well. Might look into that.
We use that a lot. I love that. So Immune Shield would be good, as well as along with the liquid light, the fulvic acid. And I do think as well, with all of the other protocols, and she's changing her diet, because this is a big lifestyle and diet change for her. And so I think, the downside of that is that it is big. The upside is she should see some results fairly soon.
Yep.
Because she's removing major players. And so I'm really, again, hoping that her body might be able to take care of it on its own. She's a very strong woman, strong emotionally, strong physically, and her body, as you can see, has been through a lot and is still kicking. So I think, hopefully she'll do that. Beverly says Immune Shield by WHO, and you responded Sun Warrior makes Immune Shield. And that's amazing stuff, the Immune Shield.
Yeah.
Sinus, I'm thinking, again, eliminating the dairy and the allergens should resolve a lot of the issue. My sister-in-law had sinus problems for years, and even surgeries on her sinuses, and when she cut dairy out, finally, not a problem at all.
That's happened to me.
And so, again, she could use the neti pot instead of the Flonase. Beverly says neti pot with a drop or two of grapefruit.
I'm going to just tell you my personal experience with grapefruit seed extract.
That painful?
In the neti pot, I decided to do it when I felt like a cold was coming on. And I took it, and I just put one drop in there, and it not only was it painful, but my sinuses just drained and drained and drained for days after that. And I think it just irritated the heck out of my sinuses. So you do have to be careful with that. Oh, well, okay. Beverly had good experience. See, so everybody's different, but I caution you to try it on yourself.
Okay.
But be careful recommending it to somebody, because if you get them in a situation where they're worse for a while like that, then they're not going to like you very much. So just my caution.
Yeah, and that's why we're going slow.
I've had good results with putting just a drop of vitamin C in there, but you do have to put a little bit of baking soda in there too, because it's very acidic feeling. I've had good results with putting a drop or two of something like echinacea or Oregon grapefruit in there, I've had good results with putting licorice in there or even making a licorice tea because it's anti-inflammatory for the sinuses. But just my personal experience with I'm glad on colloidal silver, right. Colloidal silver would be great in the neti pot because it gets it right up there where it needs to be. But just my personal experience when people say the grapefruit seed extract, oh my God, I was miserable for like days. And then I tried it a second time, of course, because I'm like that. Next time something like that, I'm just going to try it again. And the same thing happened a second time. And I was like, I swore off of it. Anyway.
Okay. Well, thank you. That's all good input.
Yeah.
That's perfect. Great.
All right.
All right. Nutrition, gut healing, again, that's our top priority, removing gluten, the other allergens, possibly other cross-reactive foods, avoiding the fermented pickled spoiled foods, alcohol right now. And then, oh, Beverly said she used Nutribiotic brand grapefruit seed extract on the chat as well. And that's the one you have used too. Okay. So we'll hold off on the GSE for a while anyway. Daily gut rejuvenator. So teaching her to do this and with the peppermint oil, the lemon oil, and the lemon juice. And she's purchased a juicer. Now, I have wheatgrass juice AM and PM. I haven't started her on this yet. And again, we might see how she responds to the other things. Definitely we'll do the cucumber, celery, the sunflower. Pea sprout juice. Again, we have these sprout wheatgrass people that live nearby. They grow for good earth in this area, and so it's very handy. And she does have access to that, which is nice. Mm-hmm. And this is what we did at Hippocrates twice a day. They had everyone do this juice. It was 50% cucumber and 50% celery, and then the other, and 25% celery, sorry, and then the sunflower and the pea sprout juice. And then also you could add lemon, garlic, ginger.
Nice.
Make it taste better as well. Green smoothies, we're going to leave out the cilantro for now.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And work it. Yeah, but I would like for her to, we'll ease it back.
You ease it back.
I think it is a great heavy.
I have had that experience with it. I was visiting somebody and we were making smoothies and she said, I have all this great cilantro. Let's make a really great cilantro. I think we did arugula and cilantro and it was like really heavy duty detox. And we both felt like really weirded out after that. We just were like, oh my God, I'm detoxing. So, yeah. You can overdo
it. And Beverly has a good point. A whole lot of wheatgrass juice at the first maybe too detoxing for if she's very toxic. So that's really our whole idea is to keep her detoxing
slowly
enough so that she can still work, that she can be comfortable, and so that, we obviously want to get this weight out of her system as quickly as possible, but as comfortably as possible, too.
Right.
So we're going to avoid fruit at first while clearing the candida, and then she can do the saliva spit test sort of to monitor where it makes the strings in the water if she's got the candida. Just kind of give herself a little self-monitor. Add in fruit cautiously, starting obviously with a low glycemic blueberry, et cetera. Monitoring her blood sugar. Again, we talked about the 30-day metabolic reset. I'm going to shore the Sun Warrior Liquid Vitamin Mineral Rush, because that has, it's liquid, it's quickly absorbed, and it does not have the folic acid in it. From what we could determine, it seems to be a good source of folate.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and if you get her off all of the folic acid, you're probably safe putting her on small dose folate and see how she does. It's usually when you try to go big dose folate, and if some of the other methylation pathways aren't open, then she can over. You can over-methylate her and cause problems. But generally, I think, if you started her with like a 100 microgram, 200 microgram dose, it could be very helpful.
Of the methyl B12 or the methyl?
Of the methyl folate.
Folate?
Yeah. Maybe Michaeline has another opinion, but that would be my
opinion. All right. So then the last slide is recommended testing, just some follow-up testing. Michaeline says a B12 small dose needed to prevent methyl trapping,
right.
So the B12 as well.
Right.
Michaeline, would you type in what you would feel would be a good small dose to start with, please?
Of both the folate and
the
B12.
Into the chat box.
Yeah.
How many micrograms? So it said 100 micrograms of the methyl folate, and then for the B12, what Fang do you think? 400 micrograms, what Michaeline would suggest. Super, thank you. Okay, so I'd like to see vitamin, of course, the full thyroid panel we determined is important. I'd like to see vitamin D levels for her. I'd like to see her hemoglobin A1C, the C-reactive protein, and also I think it would be good to get her iron, ferritin, B12, B6, and folate levels. And then later on down the road, sex hormones here. And then if, you know, if she's not responding, then we'll go with the 23andMe genetic testing. Or even if she is responding and saying, hey, you know what, I want to dig a little bit deeper, I do think that this is a concern. So we do have that as a resource.
Right.
And then I liked, but again, this is, I want to give Michaeline credit for this one, who also says sublingual on the B12. Make sure that that's the sublingual 400 microgram. She put review reflects general direction and possible concerns. And I think that that's a nice thing also to, again, remind your client that this is the general direction we're going in, gives you a little bit of latitude and where some concerns are.
Great. Wow. Fantastic.
So.
That's the end, right?
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Jen. Yeah. I think it was awesome. And, okay. And you know, the whole thing about general direction is always knowing that you're with them every step of the way. You're not going to set a direction and then keep going in that direction if we feel like that's going off course, that it's like a ship constantly going back and forth to try to stay on course as we, you know, discover how she reacts to everything and modify things accordingly, because there's no one size fits all.
Yes, and I do think that as she progresses on her healing journey, you know, different things will come up, and they have to be aware of that as well. It's sort of like the layers of, you know, the onion.
Right.
As you peel off one layer, then other priorities come up with the body, and then they're ready to address that. But the body's smarter than we are. We would want to go in with a cannon and fix everything at once. Beverly says we're all big onions. And thank you all again, my wonderful colleagues and friends. I appreciate you creating a safe place where we can do this and where we can learn and grow together. And I really, again, want to thank Dr. Rita Marie for her awesome mentorship and all of you for your great examples and your wonderful input on this tonight.
Well, Jan, you've just shown me you've been paying attention. And all that work I do to make all those modules is not in vain. And you guys are learning it and listening.
A lot of the songs I have to listen to later on because of my schedule, but I did get them listened to.
Yeah.
So, I heard all of your wonderful comments and all of the other ERSBC members, too, ERSBC, as we've gone on. And I have learned from each of you, from all of you. And
that's what it's all about.
Sharing. I'm looking forward to continuing on.
Yay. And I'm looking forward to hearing how it goes with this person. So if you could just give us a feed, you know, a little check-in in a few weeks as you do that. And congratulations on getting her to sign up for 6 weeks, because I know at the beginning it's easier to just say, okay, it's just whatever, $75 a visit, and you can come back. I want you to come back in a week, but, you know, if you don't, it's okay. But, you know, you just said, no, look, this is what I think, and you presented to her, and she bought it, which is awesome, you know? So it just shows
that's what you've taught us, really, yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
That's what I learned from you, that this is really a package. It's a journey. It's an investment. And we're here for not only the support, but the skill set that she's going to need. Because it's one thing just to give your client information. It's another to educate them. But it's a third to give them the support and the skill sets, and that's what you teach us to do.
That's right. And educate, empower, energize. What was the other one?
Yeah.
Evaluate. What was it? Evaluate, educate, empower, energize, and I don't know what the fifth one is. It may not be important. But anyway, it's all those things that you're doing, right? It's all those things that you're doing to give them the tools, the education, so they understand what's going on in their body, because they've never been taught that. They've just been taught, you know, taking drugs is normal. And it's great. It's great that you've got, and you feel like you've got the tools and you've got the resources, and nobody ever be afraid to say, you know, I'm not sure about that. I'm going to look that up for you. I mean, I do that all the time with people. It's like, oh, wow, that's a really cool thing. I haven't looked at that in years. I'm going to go back and look at it. And I learn, and they learn, and they appreciate it. So
Yeah, don't be.
Well, and the fact that I could say to her, do I have your permission to present this as a case study to my colleagues? It will be anonymous, but she was thrilled. You know, where else is she going to get not only, you know, my experience, but a think tank?
Right.
So
exactly.
What a great course this is. Elaine says, I'm inspired to do my own case studies.
Yay. I saw, I think you're scheduled. I saw Beverly got scheduled too. So a couple of you got scheduled. So I think it's great. And I didn't want this to feel intimidating to you. I wanted it to feel empowering to you. And
yeah.
The way you laid it out, and I love Jan's idea about us putting up her PowerPoint, and you can just fill in the blanks, right? You can just take her slides
right.
And take off her case and put your case in, and you've got it all done. So thank you. And thank you, Michaeline, for starting that whole thing, because I think you modeled yours after Michaeline. So
I did. Yeah.
Yeah.
And because I didn't know where to start. I thought, golly, what? And then I thought, well, I'll just see what Michaeline did. And yeah, I like that. And of course, I wasn't going to be quite as in-depth. But, you know, I think hopefully we've covered all the bases. If we haven't, then of course, you know what? We can always update it too. And you may have some extra slides you want to add. I certainly want to add a values and goal slide, because that was one of the things Dr. Riedemer has on this step-by-step system for getting consistent results with your clients. Values and goals, ask the right question, labs and exams, order protocols, restore balance, and then reassess. That VALOR acronym,
yes,
V-A-L-O-R.
Yes.
So, again, the slides could follow that format as well.
Yeah, and if I haven't done it, we should put a page up or give everybody in ERSPC access to that Shine page that has the slides on, because most of it was taken, but some of them were reformatted and they were repackaged, and it would be great to just give everybody from ERSPC access to that page, you know, that page where all the Shine handouts are, so you could actually see some of the things that I've put, you know, as I go along and create new models. And I was looking for a nice acronym, and that's what I came up with. So
Valor.
Right. It always helps to remember our acronyms. As far as, you know, I go back to school and we had to memorize the 12 cranial nerves. And I don't remember what the order until I go on Old Olympic, towering tops, Finn and German drank some hops. And then I go back and I figure out what they all mean. And I remember the order of the optic nerves. And, you know, there was something we used to do for all the bones in your hands, you know, so there's all kinds of little acronym things. They're just memory devices to help us remember so we don't leave off some of the pieces. So, you know, we all need those
tools.
That's
great.
Yeah. All right. So to wrap up this call, just to let you know that we are working on the tests. We found a really nice online test service that we can put all our test questions into. Mary did the first part. She for me the energy. What was it? The cell metabolism and energy. And we're gonna just revamp it a little bit because I only got an 84 on it, and I thought some of those questions were too hard. And we're not really clinically right. They were great questions, and Mary did a great job on it. But some of the questions were a little too academic versus clinically relevant. And I really want the test to be clinically relevant. I kind of, you know, I go back to school and I think about all the tests and all the things I memorized that were like just academic minutiae. It really didn't matter clinically. I don't, me memorizing that did not make me a better clinician, because that's like, I could pick up a book if I really wanted to know that. But the things that you really want to have as second nature is the stuff that Jan went through tonight, is kind of going through, and these are the kind of questions we want to know. And when you get these answers, what does that mean? The understanding overall. You may not remember the exact names of all the cranial nerves or all the bones in the wrist or all the, you know, muscles in the leg, and it really doesn't matter, right? You have a general idea and you look things up. But knowing what thyroid tests should be ordered, that's something good to really have at your fingertips, and expect that to be on the thyroid. Like, what are all the pieces, parts of a complete thyroid panel? And, you know, when would you want to make sure that you run, or what's the meaning of a high free T4 and a low free T3? What does that mean? And what nutrients would you supplement for that? Those are the kinds of questions we're going to be asking you. So it's not questions that are asking how well you've paid attention to, you know, some of the academic background stuff, but how your mind is working in terms of being that great detective. So that's my goal, you know, because I see so many of my colleagues who have not really taken ownership of this level of detail of looking at things. And how many of my colleagues who have been in practice for what, same amount of time as me, 22 years, and you start to talk about why they need to run all these various thyroid tests, and they're going, really? Oh, I don't remember that. Oh, really? I don't remember that. I don't ever run that. Okay. That's why I want you guys to have that, like, from the gate, right out there, so you can help people in a way that's deep and profound and get great results. And like Jan said at the beginning, the ripple effect, like she helped somebody in a class she did when she was doing Before Be Gone and teaching some people at the spa about blood sugar. And this person, it changed her life. And now she's got her sister-in-law getting into this. So it's a huge ripple. And I want the ripple to just go worldwide and just be like, blah, 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 blah. Everybody's just like a viral about good health and how to get it and what kind of things they need to do. And you'll be the catalyst and it'll be awesome. So anyway, just that's my soapbox. I'll get you guys out a questionnaire before the end of the week and we'll get some feedback on days for doing. I know Ghislaine, thank you. You responded to all my questions about what days would be great for you. I don't remember what they were, but I'll look them up and we'll put on the calendar some more days for you guys to put in your four-year case studies. And those little presentations, those are nothing. Remember how Michaeline did a 3-hour? Michaeline did hers already. She did hers 6 times over, 8 times over, because she did a 3-hour presentation on nutrigenomics for the ERC people, and then she did an hour and a half presentation at Shine. So she's more than done it. Yours doesn't have to be at that level of complexity. You can just pick a topic that you'd like to be able to teach to your clients and be able to, over and over, just be able to repetitively teach without having to teach it over and over by giving them, you know, a copy of your presentation. So you'll be able to do these presentations and teach a topic in 15 minutes and just go into the detail, the level of detail that a client would need to put some stuff into place. So it's real life practical. And then we can share all the presentations with each other so that if you want to put together these little community talks or do a little recorded video that you can, in your own voice, utilize the pre-made presentations. So I think that's an awesome tool in and of itself, that you'll get a collection at the end of this, because creating patient resources, client resources is time consuming, right? So I'm going to open it up for questions. If anybody has any, I'll just open up the Maestro line and see if anybody has questions for Jan or for me or for Michaeline or for Beverly or for anybody else that's on the line. So can we open everybody up here? Let's see. So raise your hand too if you have a question. And Ghislaine, if you have any questions or comments, go ahead and do it on the chat and we'll read those out. Anybody? Comments? Questions? Want to personally in voice give Jan congratulations for doing a great job? You guys are cool.
A lot of them put on the chat. I appreciate that. That was very kind. They had some nice,
great,
nice comments on the chat. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you. All right. Your lines are open. So if you want to say anything, go for it. And if not, we'll call it a night. Maura says she does. Go ahead.
Maura has her hand up.
Yeah. Go ahead, Maura.
Dan, you did a fabulous job. I was so very impressed. And it was really nice because it wasn't, like, overcomplicated. So I thought it was wonderful to be able to follow along and everything like that. So fabulous job.
Well, thank
my
you.
Question, the person that I asked to do the case study, or with me, like, her case isn't super complicated, so is that okay?
Yeah.
It's just, she's got this, she's got, like, a B12 deficiency, and, you know, she's been taking B12, some B12 shots, but, like, her B12 won't go up, she's still continually low in B12.
That's a little bit complicated. So that's not a simple matter of she has a B12 deficiency, give her B12 and she gets better. So you would do the same kind of case analysis, you know, asking the same questions, getting the family history, getting the drug stuff, and try to understand why. And, you know, maybe she does have an MTHFR issue, and that's not a complicated case. So yeah, you'd still go through all that. And I would say anybody that has a vitamin mineral deficiency that's not responding to supplementation, that's a more complicated case, and you've got to figure out why.
Right. So without doing like a MTHFR test or not having it, can you still kind of try to figure out why they do?
Yeah, well, if you're suspecting a B12 deficiency, and how do you know she has a B12 deficiency?
Because she said it keeps coming up in her blood work that she's low, even though she's done like a series of B12 shots and she's taken a B12 supplement.
And you've asked her if she has a... if she has been taking methyl B12 versus cyano B12?
Yeah, I don't think she's taking any. Because I said, you know, what type of B12 you're taking. She's like, oh, no, I have no idea.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's your digging, right? Those are the kind of questions to say, well, you need to find out so we can find out what that is, right? And you want to look at her CBC to see what her MCVs are, right? You want to look at some other indicators that the, you know, for methylation issues and... for anemias and other things like that. Because if they're just testing her blood levels, that's not adequate for an inadequate assessment, right? So, yeah, I think it's more complicated than you think. So I would just say tease it out and just go through the process. You know, just start from scratch and ask all the questions and see what other things might be going on that could be affecting it.
Okay. You know, just a little side note. I have she's a friend of mine. But I had recommended her to Dr. Lloyd, you know, who was doing my thyroid stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So here she's having this B12 problem now, and it's like he's not solving it for her. And I'm like, ooh, I want to help you solve this, because first of all, I recommended that to you, and now he's not solving your problem. And obviously, you can't just brush it off if you keep having this low B12.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway,
right. Well, what else could you run? And anybody else want to share before I just blurt it? What other tests would you run to see if there's a functional deficiency of B12?
Oh, MMA.
MMA, that's right, methylmalonic acid. And as Michaeline points out, that oftentimes when the B12 isn't getting where it needs to go, it's lithium orotate, helps to transport it into cells. So there's a lot of possibilities. So I think it's more complicated than you may think. It could be methylation. It could be this lithium issue. Another thing to look at is homocysteine, because high homocysteine can reflect upon the B12. Right.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? She kept telling me that her, it was something else that she had run, and she said it was kind of high, and it's the inflammation marker. I don't know. If it was C-reactive protein or something.
So if she's been to this doc, she probably has all the labs run. So you could ask her.
I know. That was the only reason I had to ask her. I'm like, you're the only person I know that has labs run.
Get the labs and then sit down and do a history with her, right? Look, tell her I'm practicing this for my certification boards, and I would love to just, I'm going to just take you through, let's just pretend we're not friends, and I'm just going to take you through this process and go through the process of asking the questions, you know, use some of the health history forms and, you know, at least use what we've given you as a case history with the questions we've said to fill in for the case history. It's on the case history page. You've submitted it before. And at least go through that with her,
okay.
Right? And just get a complete history. Okay. Look at the labs. Put the labs on the spreadsheet.
Yes.
Okay? You know how to
and
do that.
The lab spreadsheet also shows the RBC and uric acid as well. So you just look under the low column and just skim down for B12. And that'll also give you an idea.
Right. It's a great diagnostic tool.
That's a great tool, that lab spreadsheet. Wow.
Mm-hmm. It's a learning tool. It's really a good learning tool. I mean, it's great for assessments, but it is a good learning tool because as you're learning, after a while, you just kind of know. But it's great to be able to have that cheat sheet. I still look at it for some things.
That's why I put it there. I like to cheat. You know, we don't have to keep everything forefront in our brain when we can look them up real quick. Yeah, so I would say, I would challenge you to just go through and don't think of it as, oh, this is an easy case, but think of it as, wow, right, this is a good curious case. I wonder what, you know, what's going on, and what do I think based on what I've learned? What would I do with her?
Right, okay. This one, it kind of came up to me, too, to kind of challenge me that she said that, and I'm like, ooh, I should look into why.
Exactly. Exactly. So yeah, follow the protocol that I gave you. Fill that in for the lab thing that Jance is up on the site, so you could see what that looks like, how she filled it in. And then she just took that and then she popped it into this PowerPoint. And like I said, if you don't feel comfortable doing a PowerPoint, you saw how Jan and I did it. I ran it. She told me when to forward it. So she didn't have to worry about the technology on her end. I mean, we were going to have her do it, but it wasn't working. So we switched gears. So you can do it that way. Or yeah, you could just give people the documents and we'll just have them, you know, kind of look at them and go through it. I could show it. I could show the documents on the screen as well. It doesn't have to be a slide presentation. So there's lots of ways we can do it.
All right, well, thank you, and Jan, fabulous. It was really fun and interesting to go through it.
Super.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. All right. Well, thank you all for being here. And thank you, Jan, for doing such a great job. And get you guys yourselves on the calendar and look for an email from me later in the week. And, you know, express to me what's the best days for you to do it. And go from there. There's a few more things that I need to offer you to or give you that I promised on the certification, like some templates and stuff. But, you know, before you get to that, at least work on your case studies and work on your presentations. You've got enough to go on there. And I'll get that to you. We're trying to find a couple of extra hours in each day so I can finish my very long to-do list. So thank you, guys.
Michaeline has her hand up. Michaeline has her hand up.
Yeah, Michaeline, go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good job, Dan. And I also wanted to ask, if people are doing their presentations, can they use the case study and the history for that case study, or do they have to do an additional one?
You mean if they're writing one up, they're doing the write-up, and then they're going to... Oh.
Yeah, like, for instance, Jan has the case study. She's presented it in the presentation, and she obviously took, you know, history. So I'm asking, you know, to all those three requirements, can they be applied to one case study, or do the history and the case study write-up have to be additional?
Well, I think you're going to benefit more if they're different, right? Because it gives you the experience of doing it with three. So my intent had been that you do it with three different cases. So one is where you present it like this. One is where you tape somebody on the phone that you're actually doing, and it could be each other if you wanted to, just going through the history process. And one was in the kind of a classic, like as if you're doing a medical referral format. I mean, so, you know, technically they could be the same, but I think from a standpoint of getting the experience and expertise, I think it's best if they're different. And Michaeline, you've done a lot of them already, so you're covered.
That's
yeah,
not me.
Yeah. Okay. No, I know. I mean, you've done a lot of the cases already. So you've done...
Oh, no, sorry. I was talking about the noise.
Oh, no. I wasn't talking about the noise. I was talking about you've done a lot of those... You've done a lot of other people's cases on these calls. So you're covered.
Yeah, okay. But I was asking, you know, just sort of generally.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, just for every...
Yeah. Yeah, so ideally it would be different, you know, and if you're really stuck and you can't find three different cases. But I really think the best benefit you're going to get is by doing multiple cases. Because the more you do it, the easier it gets. And the more you fire those neural pathways that are the detective neural pathways, and the better you get at it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good question, though. All right. So... thank you guys again, and we will talk again soon. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye. Thank you.